Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep,
where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Clean turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA for $10 off your next order. While supplies last, get a free cooler as well. So Locked On NBA promo code, go to BuiltBar.com. Matt, how are you? Welcome back from the weekend. Hopefully you enjoyed some of the NBA action that was on over the last couple of days. Got your NFL fix for week two as well. Bears are 2-0. So good things around the city outside of Chicago Bulls basketball while they've been away. A lot of winning mentality in this city, but how are you enjoying the playoffs, and how was your weekend, man?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Happy to be back. Back in Chicago as well after my month-long escape to Michigan, so glad to be back and in my city that I love very much. And, you know, we're getting some nice little tail end of summer weather here, so that's nice. Dude, yesterday was just awesome. Like, it was up and down as far as the results that I was hoping to see in the world of sports, but, like, I watched sports for, like, you know, 14 hours straight yesterday. It was phenomenal. Between NFL football, the U.S. Open's final Sunday round, baseball on both sides of town going on, you know, Cubs and Sox both look like playoff-bound teams, despite the Cubs' struggles recently. Like you said, the Bears holding on for a win to be 2-0, and then an epic Lakers-Nuggets game, too, to cap off the night. It was just awesome, man. Like, I know any of this could just blow up at any second now. I feel like we're teetering on the edge of something. But yesterday, in a beautiful way, felt so normal. It's like September, and we've got football, and we've got baseball. But guess what? We also have the NBA Conference Finals going on. It's so much fun.
And talk about a Conference Finals game yesterday. I mean, AD to hit the three to win it. Unbelievable. That series has been really great to watch. From a strategic standpoint, too, watching the Lakers and how they defended Denver in Game 1 and then the adjustments that Denver made in Game 2 and then the way that the Lakers were able to come back, it's unbelievable how much different these bubble games have changed my mind on some players, Matt, throughout this, I don't know, I would say quarantine over the last 4-6 months. But the way that the action has gone on in the bubble, especially in some of these teams, Denver being specifically, there's a lot of guys I give more credit to than I did during the regular season. I've been thrilled, though, with the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference Finals. What did you think about that game-winning shot from AD yesterday?
I mean, you know, everybody was clowning Mason Plumlee on that defensive blown assignment because it's like he basically ran into a screen that wasn't even there. And I guess there was some miscommunication because Jeremy Grant, it looked like, was calling Plumlee over for help and maybe a switch because, Grant was on LeBron and maybe they were more concerned about LeBron taking that potential game-winning shot. But Plumlee just runs right into LeBron and Jeremy Grant and lets AD just pop wide open to receive the inbound pass and get a shot. And, like, credit to Jokic, who got all the way over there for a late contest. But, I mean, that's just an incredible shot from an incredible player. I was equally impressed by Denver clawing their way back. It looked like the Lakers were going to kind of coast to a victory, but the Nuggets rallied down from, what, like 8 or 10 points late in the fourth quarter, even momentarily took the lead on just like some beautiful bully ball from Jokic, who just plowed his way in for an easy two. It was just really entertaining, man. I'm glad that for the most part, these have been some pretty competitive games in both the Eastern and Western Conference Finals so far. We'll see if Boston can get back into that series after two close losses to Miami. Did you make anything of the whole like yelling in the Celtics locker room stuff that appeared to like get some people? I'm like, yeah, they're down 2-0 in a conference finals. They should be pissed off.
Oh man, that is as like true classic. Like, if you were wondering anybody, if you're gonna put odds on anybody to start a blow up feud throughout this bubble series, I think Marcus Smart's probably one of the favorites, right? Like, it was him. Rondo was also a favorite for me too, like a low key favorite. But no, I didn't make anything of it. It's just a team that's pissed off knowing that they played like shit in two different games, and I didn't buy much into it. I think it's just a team getting aggressive. And like, I mean, are people really making a big deal of that? Like, that's sports. That's what it is at the highest level. They're one step away from being from the finals. You're going to expect that when shit hits the fan.
Yeah, and especially you would expect you know, the leaders of the team to be vocal about it. And it was reported that it was Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, right, who were kind of going at each other. You know, Jaylen Brown certainly, although you know, young, is probably one of the leaders of that locker room. Marcus Smart certainly is a vocal and outspoken teammate. Certainly, it's not surprising that those guys were getting a little heated, because, you know, and it's not just that they lost two games. They lost two very close games that they could have won if a couple of plays go differently. So, of course, that's got to be frustrating. But, Jordan, I would just like to point this out. I'm not calling that series over. Everybody's all on this Miami Heat hype train. They have one loss in this playoff run of theirs, which was, you know, the gentleman sweep of the Milwaukee Bucks. But do you know what happened the last time a Jimmy Butler-led team had a 2-0 lead on the Celtics in the playoffs? I'm just gonna throw that out there, because that team lost four straight.
Come on, man.
Why you got to bring that up? Why you got to? Rondo got hurt. Rondo got hurt, man. You know Rondo and... I can't even say it with a straight face. Go back and watch those first two games. Do you know who was actually having a good connection? One player that signed here for a year and stole a bunch of money, and the other one who stole a bunch of money and still is here. Those two had a good series in Wade and Felicio. Remember those, that pairing in the playoffs?
Oh, just the glorious D. Wade Felicio PNR. Just,
oh, my God. Deep
basketball beauty at its finest.
Oh, man. It's going to be fun to watch, though. I think... I know NBA heads, everybody that loves and is passionate about the NBA isn't keeping their eyes off of this. And the NBA was smart, too, with the scheduling. I know people are like, what the fuck? Why don't we have any games? Like, why isn't the Eastern Conference playing till Wednesday? It's like, smart not to overlap with Sunday football. Well, they kind of did. They started their game in between all the games and then the Sunday night football game. But not having a game tonight, I think, was a good call. Having Tuesday and Wednesday basically be your days to where people can focus on those games is going to draw a lot more ratings, a lot more attention than trying to fight with the Monday night football game tonight. So good on them for that. But this series is crazy. Matt, I think we need to talk about some awards as well. Let's talk about our guy Joe Colley. How about getting called out by Ja Morant this weekend? Dude. What did you think
about
that? Colley
and Ja are quickly becoming Twitter BFFs. I love it.
So I didn't have any problem with it. And like, good for Joe to come back and give his reasoning, at least in short little spurts, and how you can do it on Twitter. Nothing can be fully explained on Twitter, but I appreciate him coming out and giving his reasoning of why he did that, why he made that vote the way he did. And good for Ja. Like, if Ja wants to talk his shit, then he's got to go out there and back it up. And Joe backed up his take and gave his reasoning why, so I always give more credit to that than people that just, oh, let me put my vote out there and then like get mad when people want some explanation of how you voted.
Yeah, I mean, yes, he did offer his reasoning. That doesn't mean you have to like it.
Agreed.
Like, I honestly thought that his reasoning about like, oh, well, the league built its TV schedule around Zion, and you know, they expanded the bubble for
facts.
Zion.
Facts.
Okay, yes, those things are true. Does it mean that he had a more impressive rookie season than Ja Morant? No. That's just context of how much hype was true. Around a guy who missed 2/3 of the season because of an injury.
I'm with you. I still think John Morant had the best year. And yeah, there's no way after sitting out that long. But I understand the reasoning, like understand the thought process behind it. So that was funny. That was funny to be entertained by. And I wonder if I'm excited to see the first time the Bulls and the Grizzlies play in 2020-2021 season. And see what kind of questions are going to be asked to see if John Morant even lets Joe Colley ask questions to him. But yeah.
And I mean, that was not the only questionable thing on Cowley's voter sheet. Right? Like, did you see some of the other things on Cowley's ballot that he was getting clowned for?
Patrick Beverly.
Pat Bev as DPOY. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Hey, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I guess he's got to vote for a reason, but yeah, you don't certainly don't have to agree with any of the picks that he makes, but I will give him a ton of credit for going out there and giving his justifications for it. I appreciate that. That's part of your job. Like if you're going to make these votes and you have those votes, why not? Why not use it as content and say, here's exactly why I picked these people. Here's my reasoning for it. Even if you're going to get shit on Twitter anyway and on social media anyway. So why not just turn it into content? That was my thought process behind it. So I thought Cowley did a good job with it, and John Morant did a good job with it, too. He's like, hey, I won the award. Let me actually call the guy out that did doubt me, though. So that's just the way that my generation and younger generations kind of deal with stuff now. You see that all the time is you just call everybody out, even if you are John Morant, who got all but one vote for first place this year. Any other awards that you had issues with or just kind of laughed at with votes, anything like that?
I mean, I didn't necessarily take issue with any of the all-NBA teams, people who made it, people who didn't make it. I think maybe the one person I was surprised to see was Westbrook getting a nod on third team, because he had a really strong little stretch run like between New Year's and All-Star, where he cut down his three-point attempts like crazy. He was really efficient. And the Rockets were really humming, but the whole season of his resume wise, I was like, eh, really all and maybe somebody like Devin Booker, who like, yeah, the Suns before their awesome 8-0 bubble run were kind of a disappointment, but playing in a much more challenging Western Conference. And for all of the people up in arms about Bradley Beal and Bradley Beal himself being pissed about what he perceived to be a snub and a slight, it's like, dude, you're on a shit team that barely won any games in the East, and you had pretty similar stats to Devin Booker, whose team had 7 more wins than yours in the Western Conference. Like, I thought that Beal, yes, incredible statistic season. I thought his like parade of snubbery on Twitter was a bit much, because it's like you didn't see Devin Booker talking anything like that. And if I were to give one of those two guys a spot, I would put Booker ahead of Beal.
If I was Beal, I'd be more pissed off at ownership. Like, this would be even more of an incentive to want out of Washington. Like, dude, you guys, look at the stats I put up, and it's directly affecting my paycheck. And part of that problem is the people you put around this team. You sold all the pieces off for this Wizards team, and you paid John Wall all of his money, rightfully deserved. But that didn't work out, and there was no plan B for Bradley Beal. It was like, well, Bradley Beal, go out there and play with some guys that are coming up from the G League, and credit to some of those guys, play better than they thought. Like, Thomas Bryant's a better player than I think a lot of the league expected to be, but he's not a guy you can surround around a guy like Bradley Beal and expect anything. So I think I'm with you. Like, the frustration Zach LaVine was having about missing the All-Star game, I think are parallel to what Bradley Beal's feeling about the All-NBA selections. It's like, you don't win games, you don't get recognized. I don't care who you are. Unless you're LeBron, if you don't win games in this league, you're not going to get that recognition. So I'm with you, Matt, totally.
But apparently LeBron is not happy about the level of recognition. Can we talk about that for a second? LeBron's comments after the MVP voting tally came out, and he learned that he got 16 of 101. Is that correct? Are those numbers correct? 16 first place votes, I believe. And he took issue with that. And at first it was just like a tweet, like, oh, 16 of 101. Okay, got it. And then he was asked about it in some media availability, and he said it pissed him off. And then he went on this rant about like Gasol winning Defensive Player of the Year in 2012, 13, and, you know, tried to make other comparisons and stuff. It's like, dude, yes, you deserved to finish second. And maybe you didn't even deserve those 16 first place votes. And some of the other things that people were talking about with like, well, here's this argument like in favor of LeBron. He's 35. Here's this argument in favor of LeBron. He helped the Lakers organization deal with the tragedy of Kobe Bryant's death. And yes, that was a tragedy that happened this season. And I'm sure it was tough for the Lakers. Guess what? It was tough for every young player in this league who idolized that guy. And what does that have to do with LeBron winning an MVP award? Nothing.
That goes directly against what he was saying, too. He was like, everybody cares more about narrative than actual results. And I was like...
Right, the only people who voted for LeBron were voting for him because of narrative.
Correct.
And it's like, meanwhile, Giannis just set the record for the best PER in NBA history. NBA history! Best PER ever! On a team that was a one seed, on a team that was the best team in the league all season long... And, oh, by the way, did Giannis have another MVP candidate as his sidekick? No. How many people put Anthony Davis in the MVP conversation, LeBron's teammate? How many people put Chris Middleton in the MVP conversation? Nobody. So what the fuck is LeBron talking about?
When you've got Anthony Davis next to you and Anthony Davis is your number two compared to Chris Middleton as your number two, like, come on, man. I mean, there's no question. And if you don't want to ride the narrative wave, then I don't know what argument LeBron has. Like, I get it, the age thing, but again, does that play more towards narrative than actual stats and facts? I don't know. And maybe this whole conversation is changed by the NBA needs to change the way that things are voted on. Like, change the timeline of when you want these things to be voted on. If you feel that the vote shouldn't be casted and revealed until the finals. So right before the finals, then you consider all of the playoff games. What do you think about that? What do you think about considering that or just keeping it separate with two separate awards? But
it's a regular season award, and it always has been.
Right.
And if you want to make it an award that includes the playoffs, then like I honestly don't have an opinion either way about that. If you want to change it to that, fine. But right now, this is a regular season award. So Giannis playing on a bum ankle and the Bucks having a very disappointing second round elimination has absolutely zero to do with this MVP discussion. Nothing. And yes, you can talk all day long about how impressive it is that LeBron is doing these things in his 17th season at age 35. And oh my gosh, that's so impressive. And it is. I'm not poo-pooing that. But what the fuck does that have to do about the MVP conversation? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
It's a good point. If they're going to change, okay, so let me put it this way. If the awards were changed today and it was you cast your ballot at the end here, right before the finals, there's a week off, we tally all the votes and then we announce it right before the finals start. Does that change your opinion on Giannis versus LeBron or no?
I mean, no, not really. I mean, maybe it goes from being unanimous or should be, in my opinion, unanimous to something slightly less than that. But that's also just a hypothetical that's only that, a hypothetical.
I would say it doesn't change my opinion. Like it changes a little bit considering that the Bucks failed again to get to their ultimate goal, but you still have to consider all of the regular season, which is a good majority of things. Like, it helps guys like LeBron or even Nikola Jokic if you're talking about MVP awards, rising them up, but it doesn't do enough to push them past guys like Giannis. So I'm with you.
And their failure in the playoffs, like, I know a lot of people wanted to blame Giannis because the MVP kind of wilted, but I think it's just as much, if not more so, about Budenholzer getting wildly outcoached by Eric Spoelstra and poor roster construction. Like, yes, Giannis is an incredible talent who has maybe a fatal flaw in that he's not really, when you get down to, you know, half court possessions in a playoff game, a guy that can create for not only himself but his teammates, and he's not a great outside shooter. So what did the Bucks do? Well, the Bucks, you know, made a number of roster decisions last offseason. Brogdon obviously would have been expensive to keep, and they decided they could live without him. Right now, that looks like maybe a mistake. They added a couple of front court pieces that didn't necessarily fit, and they didn't add a playmaker. That's why everybody's talking about like CP3 to Milwaukee right now. So, no, like even if you were to say, okay, well now let's put the bubble seeding games and the, you know, the playoff games into the conversation and into the voting decisions of these people. No, I mean, it would not change my vote for Giannis for MVP at all.
You bring up a good point. I don't think it's talked about enough is the pieces that were surrounding him. I mean, look at the playoff totals for that Bucks team. Middleton, Bledsoe, and Wesley Matthews all shot under 42% from the field in the playoffs. You can't be playing 25 to 35 minutes a game and be shooting under 40%, especially when you're Middleton, man. You can't do that. Can't be doing that. And then your surrounding pieces, like you're asking guys like Dante DiVincenzo, who's 23, to step up and be a huge part in a role when guys aren't knocking down shots. And you're asking Brooke Lopez to be a stud on offense at 31 when your team isn't really built to be that.
You're asking Brooke Lopez to take desperation three. And I know Brooke turned himself into a much better three-point shooter in the back half of his career. But, you know, as the Bucks were floundering and losing these close games against the Heat, is a Brooke Lopez three really what you need right now? Because no, I don't think it is.
Yeah, that's a guy you can't good for him, he stepped up, but you can't consistently rely on Brooke Lopez to be your number two or three option when nobody else is hitting shots. Good for him, though. He averaged 16 in the playoffs, 16 points per game, and shot 40% from three on five attempts. But yeah, everybody else was doo-doo. Like Wesley Matthews was terrible. Eric Bledsoe, once again, terrible.
Bledsoe, awful. Awful.
I mean, you've got a 38-year-old Kyle Korver that couldn't play. He only played 10 minutes a game. So there's a bunch of pieces that just didn't fit around Giannis. And then once Giannis gets hurt or doesn't play in at 100%, you were screwed, and you saw that. They battled as much as they could, but it didn't work. Matt, there's a couple other things I want to talk to.
I thought we agreed to never use that word on this podcast again.
What's that?
The word that starts with a B and end in addled.
Oh. They battled. They had heart and they had spirit.
I battled. I lost my fucking 30 tonight. Oh, we battled.
Oh, man. One other quick Bulls note before we get out of here, but I do want to talk to our listeners about Built Bar. Built Bar has been an amazing sponsor for the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Bulls for the last couple of months. A lot of our listeners giving us feedback that they're enjoying Built Bar for the first time and loving all of the 12 original flavors that they have, and some even trying the 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and carrot cake. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the healthy conscious guy or girl in your life. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber. Great for the keto diet. One of the flavor profiles, take a look at my favorite one, the peanut butter bar. It has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It's the perfect in-between if you're not a big breakfast person, if you're somebody that needs that snack in between your big meal in dinner and lunch, maybe you're going for a workout, want something in your stomach, this is a perfect, perfect option. No more chalky, gross, nasty protein bars. Something that is going to give you your chocolate fix and be fantastic for you. So go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code Locked On for $10 off at builtbar.com. Matt, do you think it's egregious that Zach LaVine got a couple third place votes for All NBA?
I mean, no. I think he got. One. He got a single third place vote.
Okay, he got one. Yes.
So, no, I don't think that's egregious when you think about how many votes there are to go around. I mean, do I think he deserves to be an all-NBA third team selection? No. Again, it's something that you have brought up repeatedly because it is an important note, and it's something that we have also noted that Zach himself has talked about, and it goes into what we were just talking about with Beal a while ago. People who are contributing to winning teams get votes to be on those All-NBA teams. Zach was not on a winning team this year. So, you know, whoever was, and I saw it wasn't somebody on the Bulls beat who
wasn't somebody from vote. Chicago,
somebody random. But you know, one vote. Okay. I think that's about correct. Zach had some incredible games, and up until the Bulls season was already kind of dead and he had a nagging shoulder or whatever that was, he was on pace to play an 82 game season and average, you know, 25-5-5 and all this great stuff. And we saw these epic scoring nights from him, and yeah, he was on a team 20 games under 500. So it is what it is.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And I mean, look across the board. If we're just strictly looking at offense, I mean, Zach is up in every basically every statistical category. Per game averages all went up, even if it was just a tick, which is, again, a testament to a guy coming off an ACL injury a couple of years ago that seemingly nobody talks about anymore. It's like, let's forget Zach LaVine even tore his ACL. And I know that's early. It's been a few years since then, and other guys have recovered, but I just feel like that's not factored in when people talk about who LaVine is as a player. And I don't know where his future goes, only at 25, not even 25 years old yet. But every statistical category, the dude averaged 25.5 points a game, shot 45% from the field, was above 80% free throw shooter this year. And that was something that I even thought he struggled with a little bit. But looking at his point totals, Matt, it's insane. He had six games where he shot 40 to 49 points. He had 30 to 39 points. And the majority of his games came with 20 points or more. We talked about a streak that he had at the middle of the season where I think he went like 19 or 20 straight games with 20 or more points. So he was the only offensive weapon that was consistent for the Bulls night in and night out. So I can understand it from an offensive perspective, is that's the only way you're looking at this is improvements in those areas, why he would get a third place vote. But yeah, it all just comes back to winning.
It always does, man. It always does. And, you know, maybe there are some more votes and maybe an award for somebody on this Young Bulls team next season if they make a substantial leap as far as win total. And one of these players is at the forefront of making that happen. And maybe that's Zach or maybe it's somebody else. But until this team starts winning, nobody's going to look their way. That's why Chris Dunn didn't get a defensive team selection. It's why Kobe just scraped in as a second all rookie team, despite some of the amazing performances we saw from him. I mean, it's all about winning, man. And hopefully
that's
the Bulls
crazy.
Find oh, Kobe, you sweetheart.
Wow.
Hopefully the Bulls find the right coach and the right player development people to make that happen.
Speaking of Kobe White, before we get out of here, I don't think we mentioned this when we were talking about him and all the past history of the Bulls second team, all rookies. So I figured I'd run that down really quick for those that didn't see the awesome graphic. Our new social media guy, Ryan, has been amazing for the Locked On Podcast Network. He is pumping out stuff left and right, and the social media experience of the last 2 months has been unbelievable for our network. So shout out to him. But he put this together with all the names and the list of guys that made the team and what years. But Kobe White joins 27 other players that were a part of Bulls history in either all rookie first or second team selections. And he joined guys like Tyrus Thomas. I know that's not a great name to start with. Tyrus Thomas, Jay Williams, Marcus Fizer, Ron Artest, Tony Kukoc, Stacey King. And that goes as far back as the second team, because the second team came a little bit after. I believe it was in the start of the 80s that the second team came about. But a decent list of guys. But if you go back and look at the first team all selections too, a hell of a lot of really good players that the Bulls are homegrown. These are just homegrown guys that the Bulls drafted, because other guys that made second teams most recently was Zach LaVine with the Minnesota Timberwolves. He was a part of that with Nico Mirotic, who was on the first team in 2013-2014.
Yeah. Also, hey, remember when Lauri Markkanen was the first team all rookie?
Yeah, man, when I was going back and doing the research, I was like, holy shit, I kind of forgot about that. I was like, what happened to that dude?
First team all rookie. And people wonder why I haven't given up on that guy.
You know what's funny is the conversation between him and Kuzma. Kuzma, it looks terrible, man. I don't know.
Dude,
watching him.
Dude is trash, man.
I watched him give up 6 points just by himself yesterday in a 30-second span. He turned the ball over, commits a foul, and an and-one comes back on the other side, loses the ball in the They have a fast break and Denver scores 6 points at a timeout. It's called like all in 45 seconds. I'm like, wow, Kuzma is so bad.
But then like he makes a shot or makes some drive or something that, and everybody's like, oh, Kuzma. Oh, what a talent. And I'm like, what the fuck are these people looking at?
Yeah. Let's hope Lowry has a good year so we can start really digging into that and saying, yeah, everybody that wanted Kuzma over him was wrong.
And speaking of Lowry, you know, we got to find the right coach. So real quickly here, Jordan, before we get out of here. A minor update from Shams with the Athletic Inside Pass this morning. A little blurb about the Bulls. They're narrowing their finalists for their head coaching job and expect to conduct final interviews soon, sources said. Denver's Wes Unseld Jr., who of course got a lot of noise around Bulls Twitter after the Nuggets upset of the Clippers. Philadelphia's Ime Udoka, Milwaukee's Darvin Ham, and former Brooklyn head coach Kenny Atkinson, among those who have had strong interviews so far. So maybe that is a list of the potential finalists, if you will. Pretty much chalk, as I expected. You know, you got the AK connection from an assistant in Denver. You got the Eversley connection for an assistant in Philly. Obviously, Milwaukee, despite their ugly exit, Darvin Ham has gotten a lot of hype as a guy from the Budenholzer coaching tree, looking for his first opportunity. And then as far as the head coaching candidates that are available, to me, Atkinson always seemed like the most likely one, way more likely than D'Antoni or Ty Lue or Billy Donovan, guys who want to go to win now teams.
These become interrogations. They're not interviews. They're interrogations.
As we get down the stretch, maybe that's what it will be. It will be interrogations to find the final guy, the guy that's ready to lead this Bulls team in a brand new direction. And there's some pressure, man. Think about Chicago. Like I said at the top of the episode, think about all the winning that's going on right now in this city, at least from a standpoint of it's exciting to be a Chicago fan once again. And even the Blackhawks, man, even the Blackhawks exceeded expectations from where they were at. So all eyes will be on the Bulls sooner rather than later once they return. This team cannot turn into an afterthought like it has been the last couple of years. So it's going to be some pressure if you look around the rest of the city, see all the winning that's going on.
I'm winning. The Bears are 2-0. They could easily be 0-2.
You sound like the first thing my dad said to me was, I go, oh yeah, the Bears won. I go, they're 2-0. And he goes, yeah, and they should be 0-2. That's the first thing he said. That's when you know somebody has been through the pain of Bears football and also saw 1985 in the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, hey, I'll take 2-0. The Bulls start their 2021 season, whenever that actually starts, if it ever does, and we start 2-0, dude, I'll be doing cartwheels.
Here in the Advocate Center.
That's good about doing here.
Shut up, Gar!
I'm Locked On Bulls. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to our sponsor in Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. We know I've seen a lot of voicemails, a lot of texts, Matt, about some trade proposals that we'll have to get into later this week. You can also email us, too, at lockedonbulls@gmail.com if you don't have a way to connect with us on social media or through the phone. You want to write something that's long form, go ahead and send it to us. We'll take a look at it, and if it's good enough, we'll share it with the audience. But hit us up, 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.